Welcome back to Endpoint TV. Today, once again, we're talking about versioning and workflows. And this problem is so thorny. It's got so many issues in it. I want to take a little bit of time with some PowerPoint slides so we can think about the issues and tease them apart. And then we'll look at some code and some things that I'm learning about this space. So, the first thing I want to think about is, what is this versioning problem, really? I mean, you know, we have to dig into what it is. So first, let's think very abstractly about some definitions. So if we think about objects, I remember when I first learned object-oriented programming, they taught me that objects have three elements. They have identity, they have state, and they have behavior. Together, these things make up what we think of as an object. Now, when you want to create an object, you don't really create an object, you create a class. And a class is like a template that you use to stamp out objects, right? So when you create the class definition, the type, and then you tell the CLR new of that type, then it creates one of those and it returns you a reference, and that's your instance. Now, in the CLR, every object has a version that comes from the assembly that's deployed in, right? So you can imagine that the class, in a sense, has a version, and the instance also has a version. Now, you might decide at some point that you want to store the state of your object in some other store so that you could get it back later, right? And in fact, when you call save on your object, let's say you have a save method, you make a copy of the state and you put it in the data store. And when you do, now you've got state that's really tied to a particular version of your object, right? I mean, it might work in other versions of your object, but it was state that was created from version 1. So I'm going to call this S1. Okay, great. And then at some later point, you new up an object and you say load it, and it takes the state S1, it loads it back into your object, and everything is cool, right? Right. Now, let's say that you make some change to your class. It could be that you add some new thing, maybe you remove something, you change types or ordering, whatever. It could be a lot of different things. And so when you new up your object, now you've created an instance, and let's call it V2. And so what happens when we call load on this state that came from the object V1? Well, maybe nothing. I mean, maybe it's fine. Maybe, you know, in your code, when you load things, you do special conversions or transformations or something to fix it. Or maybe, on the other hand, it just blows up, right? And if it blows up, you probably catch this in your testing and you do something to fix it. I mean, or maybe what you do is you write some kind of upgrade routine and you point at the database and convert S1 into S2 and then you load it. In any case, you can see the nature of the problem comes down to this one thing. When I have state that was created under V1 and it meets behavior that's V2, I have the potential for a problem. Now let's think about this in terms of workflows. Now with workflows, it's kind of interesting because We've done some things that made you think that when you create a workflow, you're creating an instance, just the way you do with the CLR. But really, what happens is you have some XAML, and that's like the class definition. It's really a type. And what you do later with your XAML is you say run. Or maybe you say new workflow 1 and then you say run that, right? Well, when you say new workflow 1, what you're really doing is like creating an instance of a type, which is something you never do in the CLR. It does it for you. But what happens is when you say run, the workflow runtime creates an instance, but it never gives it to you and you never see it. You never touch it. It's kind of hidden away inside the workflow runtime doing its work. Now, the workflow runtime also has some capabilities around saving data, and we call it persistence. So it can, for various reasons, decide maybe at a transaction boundary, maybe use the persist activity, or maybe the host decided if the workflow is idle, we want to persist, or maybe you marked a messaging activity to persist before sending. For whatever reason, the state of this workflow instance along with the execution state that the workflow runtime, this kind of internal data that the workflow runtime cares about, all of that gets persisted into the database, and it has the same kind of implicit version. So you have version one of your state. Now along we go and update the workflow definition, and now once again we have a different version of our instance. What happens when we load? Well, chances are, we saw this last time when we talked about versioning, chances are this is going to blow up. Okay, so that's the problem. That's the problem we're facing. Now, what can we do about it? Well, the first thing you have to think about is when you're planning your application, you have to plan for change. Don't tell me your application is never going to change. We know it's going to change. You need to plan for it. So here's how I think about planning for the change. The first question I would have when it comes to change is I would say, could we allow persisted instances to complete? Let's say that I've got in my persistence store 100,000 workflow instances in various stages of the game. And we're planning some kind of a change and we say, well, what happens if we just said anything that's already running, we'll just let it finish using the workflow definition it already had? Is that okay? Maybe, maybe not. It depends on the nature of the change, right? So the answers depend on what your strategy is, right? So if we said yes, anything that started could finish under the workflow definition it was created with, then the scenario we have is side by side. So I'll have some workflows that are running the V1 workflow definition, some that are running V2 definition. And then what I have to do is route messages to the correct workflow depending if it's V1 or V2. And new workflows should start V2 and those kind of things. So really, this becomes a message routing problem at that point. And so I'm not going to solve that problem today. Today I want to focus on the other side of this. So what if we said no, we can't let them finish? Why would we say that? Well, one of the key scenarios where you wouldn't say that is my workflow has a bug. And if I let workflows finish with this bug, then they're going to have incorrect data, or they're going to blow up with exceptions or whatever might happen. But there might be other reasons. Maybe you had the business rules change and somebody comes along and says, nope, the business rules change effective Friday. All of these have to have the new process in place. Okay, that could happen too. So if that's the case, we have some more questions. And really, the first question is, of course, do we have persisted instances? This is not an issue if you're not using persistence or if the workflow flows are not long running. Who cares? It's not a problem, right? But if we have persisted instances, then some changes we make will break things. And some changes we make won't break things. So we want to understand, is the kind of change we're thinking of making something that's going to break things? Now don't ask me, don't say, Ron, can you tell me what kind of changes break things and what kinds don't? The answer is it's way too hard to know. In fact, when we talked about it, Leon from the Workflow Runtime and I, we talked about this and we concluded that if you asked us, we would say every change is a breaking change because we just don't know for sure. Now you and I both know, because we saw in the last episode, that there are some kinds of changes that you can make that might not cause things to blow up. So the next question we wonder is, well, how would I know if it's a breaking change? Well, okay, one thing is if the app blows up, like, and we saw last time that if I did things like add a new variable, even if nothing uses it, it causes the app to blow up. If I added a new activity at the end of the activity tree, it causes the app to blow up. But we also saw that if I changed the text of an expression, then it might not blow up. Now, it depends on what activity is using that expression and what it does with it, because some activities might blow up. So maybe, maybe not. One way you can tell is you create a test scenario like I did last time, and then you run it and you see if things blow up. Okay, the other more subtle error is that it might produce an incorrect result. Like maybe it doesn't blow up, but at the end, the data you get is just wrong. How would you know? Well, my friends, this is why I keep banging on you to write some tests. You need to have tests. That's how you will know if things are wrong or right. And you need to be able to test against persistent stores and persistent data and see what's going on. So if your tests are failing, even though it's not blowing up, this is really a breaking change. So if we have breaking changes, what options will we have? Now, there's probably a third case that's somewhere in the middle of this. I'm not sure how to describe it. The third case is, I want to make a change. It might be breaking in some instances, but in others it's not breaking. And how would that happen? Well, it would happen depending on the flow of your logic. Like many times you have a workflow that accumulates some kind of result over several iterations of a loop or a flowchart that loops back on itself or a state machine or something. And so if you've started this process where you started accumulating results and then you change the workflow, particularly the thing that is involved in accumulating results, can you safely change it? I mean, it's already started accumulating a result with the wrong thing and you change it to something else halfway through, that's probably not a safe change either. So there's some cases where you're going to have to say, well, we know the kind of change we want to make is not breaking, but because of the way the logic of the workflow functions, it probably is a breaking change. So what could you do about breaking changes? Well, you could try to handle the exceptions. And if this were your own code and your own loading function, you could probably do that. But in this case with the workflow runtime, I'm sorry to say, we really don't give you a way to get in the middle of this. Ultimately, my wish for this is that we would give this problem to you. We just say, hey, why don't you go load it and figure out and just give us the good data and you can fix it. And in fact, there is a way you can do this if you want to create your own instance store, which is not particularly an easy thing to do, but it is one possibility. If you want to create an instance store, then we'll just call you and you can decide based on whatever you find what to do with it and give us back data that may or may not break. All right? Well, that's one possibility anyway. Another option is if we could identify instances that we know will be broken, we have to delete them. And you say, Ron, what happens if I delete this instance? I'm going to lose this data. Yeah, that's not good. So what we need to do is be able to resubmit it to the workflow. Okay, so next question is, how could we resubmit it? Well, one option is that we could save the message data somewhere else. So whenever we start a workflow, particularly with the workflow service, but it's true in other cases, some data gets passed into the workflow to start the whole process. If we could save that data along with the instance ID, maybe we could tell what's going on. So I think about this like the message data that came in, I'm just going to save it somewhere. It could be in my database. There's a way to store it in the instance store as well. The second thing I have to do then is if I'm going to resubmit this, I have to find the particular instance we're looking for and delete it from the instance store so that it doesn't remain there and we can start over. And then the third thing we need to do is load this message data from wherever we stored it and resubmit it to the workflow so we can start over again. Now you might be thinking, well, if I've already done, you know, 5 of the 10 things I need to do in this workflow, won't it do all those first 5 again? And the answer is yeah, unless you come up with some way to make it not do that. The easiest thing to do is to make your operations idempotent so you don't have to repeat them. Or you can repeat them, rather, and it won't be a problem. So how do we find the instance? Well, this is where it gets a little harder. One option is you can look in the instance store, and we have this technique that's good with the SQL Server instance store called promoted properties, where you can store whatever you want there to find it. The other option would be to store the information somewhere else. That's where we're going to end today, and next time I'm going to pick up the demo and show you exactly how you can do this. For Endpoint TV, I'm Ron Jacobs.